You think God is just mad with sin, my friends? No, God's wrath is in antagonistic cooperation with sin. That's what Romans 1 teaches us. Let's have a look at it. Colin Cook here and how it happens. You're listening to a broadcast on the grace of God, the good news about our Father in heaven. It's an incredible story. The good news about God in Jesus Christ, he who has sent his only Son, that whoever looks upon him and believes in him shall have everlasting life. That's the passionate desire of God. And we're learning this so that we might train our faith when all hell breaks loose in our lives. Because it does, doesn't it? With the struggles with sin, the struggles with addiction, the struggles with all the misfortunes of the world. How do we handle that in relation to our faith in God? So, we're looking at Romans chapter 1, verse 18. And as I said to you the other day, the wrath, as it says here, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And as the English Standard Version puts it, who suppress the truth by unrighteousness. And so I've been teaching that God, that sin has a goal. And that goal is this: we sin in order to turn off God, not we turn off God in order to sin. That's clear in this verse, 1 verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth by unrighteousness. Now, I'm not talking about the world here. We're not pointing a finger. We're all in this together, my friend. We naturally suppress God. We're in a state of suppression. Why? I explained that a bit earlier. Because we are filled with guilt and shame and fear from our separation from God in the first place, and therefore we have seen God as an ogre, because guilt and shame and fear cause us to misinterpret who God is, misperceive him. We think he's the killer. We think he's out to destroy us. And therefore we turn him off. It's a totally natural state of mind. And we keep doing our thing in order to turn him off. And so, as I said yesterday and the day before, when you're in your addictive state, whether it's drugs or sex or alcohol or food, you're not just wanting to switch off the pain of a lonely life or an abused childhood or just to seek pleasure. You're escaping. You and I are escaping from this God of ours who loves us with an eternal love, but we can't understand that. We're afraid of him, so we turn him off. That's our goal. Now, as I said, is God simply mad with that? As a loving God who wants to help us, is he simply mad with that? No. He, according to these verses, God's wrath is in antagonistic cooperation with sin. Now, you understand what I'm saying there, don't you? I'm creating a paradox. Antagonism is the action of being against something. So how can we talk about antagonistic cooperation? Because that is exactly what God does. What do you make of the story of Pharaoh? What do you make of the story of Pilate? What do you make of the story of Haman in the book of Esther? What do you make of Jacob's wrestle, of Joseph's brothers, and of Jesus and his tormentors, if it were not for the fact, if it is not this, that men do not simply oppose God. Rather, once men oppose God, and that's all of us, of course, he will create an antagonistic cooperation with that opposition of ours. An antagonistic cooperation in order to bring about the good news. Now you say, that's staggering, really. Well, of course it is. And that's, once again, where we haven't perceived the truth properly in these words, in this message here. Let me remind you, the wrath of God is revealed in verse 18, and I mentioned the other day that God's wrath is not a suspension of his love, for God is love. He cannot deny himself. God's wrath is an action, a tough action of his love, And when he acts with his wrath, he hands us over, verses 24, 26, and 28, to what we choose instead of him. And so he is doing this antagonistic cooperation with sin. He's saying, I cannot let you go. If you resist me in unbelief, I will work with your sin in order to bring you to me. This is staggering truth. It is staggering news. It is something that needs to be proclaimed from the housetops. You see, I mentioned to you yesterday, and I insist on this, chapter 11, verse 32 is a summary of chapter 1. For God has committed them all to disobedience, that is, handed them over to what they choose, that is, to what they choose instead of him. God has handed them over, God has committed them all to disobedience, that he might have mercy on them all. Not that he might damn them all, not that he might send them all to hell. This is the awesome wonder of God. Let me just give you an example. Do you give thought to how Jesus died? You remember God sent his son into the world? It was God who sacrificed his son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It was God's plan that Jesus Christ should die and be executed for the sins of all humanity. Yet, my friend, when you look at it from a human point of view, Jews and Romans, and really all of us if we had had a chance to be there, slaughtered him. Slaughtered him. So what was God doing? God's plan, eternal plan for the sacrifice of his son for the sins of the world, was integrating with man's sin and resistance and bringing about salvation through man's evil. Now I say to you, you must take a different view to your struggle with sin and your struggle particularly with addiction. You cannot come to this place where you say, God has forsaken me. God has abandoned me because I've been an addict for 30 years or 20 years or this, that, and the other, and I have stopped going to church, and there's no hope for me anymore because I walked out on God when I started using drugs. Don't go there, for God's sake. It is utterly false thinking. The fact is, your Heavenly Father has entered into an antagonistic cooperation with your drug addiction, or your alcohol addiction, or your food addiction, or your sex addiction, in order to bring you to the place where you will fall on your knees in search of your Father, your Heavenly Father. You see, psychologically, it looks a bit like this. You and I will just breeze through life without God, if we had a chance. We are in a almost permanent state of resistance to God, a permanent state of suppression. We go about our business as if he didn't exist many times. Even Christians do this. I mean, I've said very often that if you get faith in focus 5 minutes a day, you're doing well. But, you know, we spend a day at business and we think, we come to the end of the day and we think, how much did I think about God today? How much did I even pray for his help? Well, very little. Because we are naturally independent, naturally in a state of suppression of God. Well, now, that incites, it doesn't really incite, but that brings into action God's wrath. Not God's hate. Not God's rejection of you, but God's antagonistic cooperation with your suppression. And so he starts engineering circumstances in your life that will bring you to call upon him. Even your struggle with sin will be an instrument in God's hands by which he reveals himself. This is the wonder of God. Now, you know, you would think he'd just wipe his hands of us and say, we'll go to hell. This is the awesome mercy of God. This, remember, the book of Romans is about the gospel. And the gospel doesn't start in chapter 3, verse 21. It starts right here in chapter 1, verse 9, verse 18. The wrath of God is part of the good news of the gospel. Because if it were not for the wrath of God, we would all be blithely going on and walking into our own death trap. We would be blithely walking off a cliff singing stupid songs. We are crazy people. And if it were not for the fact that God says, I've got to save these people from their craziness, I've got to give them what they want so that they can see how crazy it is and then scoop them up before it kills them, if it were not for that, there'd be no hope whatsoever. The wrath of God is an aspect of his love. Well, what does this bring you to think? I'll tell you, my friend. Turn around and believe. Oh, dear Father, I thought you had abandoned me. I had no idea that you were in an antagonistic cooperation with my sin to bring me to you. You see, my friend, at no time is any sinner not in some form of engagement with God. At no time is any sinner not in some form of engagement with God. God does not simply wipe his hands of things. He is intimately involved. He will never depart from us. He's insufferable sometimes. But he's there, you see. And you can go before your heavenly Father and say, Oh, Father, I thought that all my sins had simply blocked you out of my life. But no, you have decided to engage with my sins. You have decided to involve yourself so that my wrong behavior, which you give me power to do, leads me to a state of helplessness which leads me to call out to you. Ah, my friend, don't you see as well that the wrath of God is a respect for the image of God that he created in you that he will not deny. He will work with you as a person seeking to pull out of your hands this suppression rather than simply zap you as if you were a machine. There's an important seminar coming up on Saturday, the 29th of January, my friend. Sex and self, bringing the two together in Christ. This is about sexual identity. It's not about addictions, by the way, nor is it about homosexuality. The truth of the matter is that many Christians came to Christ because they had an abused childhood. Sexual abuse, perhaps, physical abuse, emotional abuse. Not all Christians, but many, many are so wounded that they came to Christ. And so they learned to know God spiritually, but they never did get their sexuality worked out from childhood, the abuse of it. And so they leave their sexuality in the realm of the dark and the unspeakable, the forbidden and the non-Christian when it comes to sexual feelings. They're either in God on a Sunday or in sex on a Saturday. And so it's all confusing and divided. Now, we need to learn how to meet the abuse of our childhood in the presence of God so that we can deal with the anger and then get the reconciliation with our abuser, if possible. And then we slowly learn by faith to bring our sex and self together. Don't lose yourself when you feel sexual, but rather know God in the presence of that sexual feeling. That's scary, isn't it? Oh, yes. Well, this is an interesting seminar. So Saturday, the 29th of January, come at 9 o'clock. Come before if you can to get a seat and a coffee and orange juice or something. 9 o'clock till 3:30 in the afternoon with a break for lunch. It's La Quinta Inn in Lakewood, 7190 West Hampden Avenue in Lakewood. See you there then, and see you next time, my friends. Cheerio and God bless.